This is Lenny Winnestrom, Common Sense Health Expert, and welcome to the Wild and Free Healthy You podcast. Without your health, there isn't much joy in life. We talk about all facets of health, including lots of unconventional strategies, tools, and solutions from a holistic point of view. This podcast is all about inspiration, motivation, and expansion of your mind, your body, and your spirit, because your health is your number one asset. I want to make it easier for you to keep it that way. Now, on to the podcast. This podcast does not provide medical advice. The purpose is to promote consumer knowledge and information on various health topics. Always seek the advice of your qualified health practitioner.
Thank you for joining us for the Wild and Free Healthy You podcast. Today's awesome and amazing guest is Carolyn Borman. Carolyn, how are you doing today?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
I'm going to read your bio because you're one of... You know so incredibly mucho, and I'm just so excited to be interviewing you. You're just a top-notch girly. So Carolyn is a California native. She and her husband Paul are longtime residents of the Lake Arrowhead Resort area in the beautiful mountains of Southern California. She's a holistic practitioner and traditional naturopath, and has worked in medicine and allied health fields over 40 years. She specialized in medical hypothermia for cancer and chronic infections, biooxidative medicine, which is ozone hyperbaric oxygen, et cetera, enzyme therapy, nutrition, hormone balancing. She's been an educator and trainer and co-developer of the microkinesiology method for biofield information analysis and manipulation for discovery and self-healing. In addition to having her own company, Arrowhead Healthworks, she is also the U.S. director slash coordinator for Europa Institute of Integrated Medicine, a holistic medical clinic located in Tijuana, Mexico, since 1989. That's quite a long time that you've been working there.
I've been in healthcare since I was 18. I'm in my early 60s, so it's been my calling. I went from the traditional allopathic model into holistic about 1986, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went even further into that, into a real true holistic, because even alternative doctors sometimes still use a standard of care model for their patients, and I've moved away from that. So I'm. What was the word that you said? Your byline for your show?
Oh, unconventional health for unconventional people.
So anyway,
there's no pill for every ill, nor is there an herb for every ill.
No, everybody's unique as a snowflake, as they say. So
is a snowflake? Yeah, yeah. As unique as a snowflake. Okay, there was a political thought that went through my head when you said that.
No, I'm not that kind of snowflake. I'm in California. I get it.
So today we're going to talk about DMSO, which I'm super excited because my viewers slash listeners, since we have video and audio for this podcast, have followed my husband's heart event, which we call a heart event, right? Yeah. Because we still don't know, but yet we know based on all the signs that it was probably most definitely, since my mother literally almost died in my arms of a heart attack. And so like all the signs, the irritability, and then plus the actual physical signs, you know, of the pain and all of that. So DMSO was such a big lifesaver, literally. And so I was so excited when you told me. I mean, we've talked so often and about so many things. And I was just so excited when you told me, when I said, Dr. Stanley Jacobs, and you're like, I know Dr. Stanley Jacobs.
I did. He's been dead a few years.
Yeah. And he's since in 2011, I think.
He died in 15.
Oh, in 15.
Yeah. His son Jeff took over, many years. I mean, gosh, the guy was 91.
Yeah.
When I met him, I met him at a medical conference. He was lecturing down in the San Diego region. And there were several hundred of us that were in this conference because he didn't go out. I mean, he was in his 80s then. He was about 82. And it was primarily for physicians, and it was about surgery, using it in surgery. But then, of course, he got into all sorts of other things. But so I had the privilege of being able to go up and stand around and chat with him and ask questions and, you know, tell him. Everybody was giving their war stories, talking about, you know, what they'd done with what kind of patients. Cardiovascular patients, it really does help, because part of what you're dealing with is swelling inside the heart and in the blood vessels. And of course, the MSO will help bring all that down.
You know, that's interesting, swelling, because it's also constriction.
Well, same.
Yeah. So, that's the same, swelling and constriction?
When a vessel swells, it constricts the blood flow.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
Like a spasm.
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking
now,
of
it. Now, it can be different in the sense that, you know, think about the pipes in your house. If they're clogged full of stuff, then that's constricted. But when you have an event where you have a whole bunch of inflammatory things that get released that cause inflammation.
Yeah.
It can be something as simple as an allergic reaction is something that triggers it.
Yeah.
Right? Or you could have, it can also trigger heart attack or other things like that if you're really compromised. Infection, an undiagnosed viral infection, for instance, is, you know, not that uncommon for heart problems. So, and DMSO takes the swelling down. It's used in closed head injuries a lot, in emergency rooms and stuff. In Mexico, it's the hospitals, it's kind of a standard of care for closed head injuries.
Closed head injuries.
Like football.
Yeah. Okay.
And soccer and stuff where the brain swells, or even encephalitis and infectious swelling from an infection.
Yeah.
And so,
So how would they use it on a closed head injury? Would they use it internally, or?
You would use it IV. You're using it IV. Oh,
yes. Yeah. That makes
sense. If you don't have IV, you can use it orally.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's how Steve, my husband.
Yeah, we just put a cap full of the pure lab grade stuff in a little glass of orange juice.
Yeah.
It's both fat and water soluble, and it does react with water. It'll have a thermogenic reaction.
So it does.
You know, you put it in a coffee mug or something in some distilled water, let it react, and then it's just a flash reaction, and then you can add whatever else you're going to add to it.
So, yeah, it gets warm.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's really interesting how that works. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know that they use it in, I mean, is that common that they use it in?
No, in the United States, it's only used for two things. There's
right.
a lot of controversy and a lot of political back and forth. It's been around in the industrial commercial realm since 1953.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 60s, Dr. Jacobs started publishing in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused a firestorm with the FDA. I mean, they didn't know what to do because it was so universal in its applications in almost every area, you know, drug delivery or, you know, bringing down swelling, or there's even anti-tumor characteristics. And so one side wanted to have it be completely approved, and the other, you know, there was a lot of infighting.
Yeah.
Because people wanted to apply. See, because Stanley Jacobs and Dr. Hershner would never give permission for the patents. So they couldn't sell the patents. Nobody could have an exclusive patent. So that was part of the problem.
It's a natural. It comes from like craft wood pulp.
It used to be Weyerhaeuser Paper was the contract company that Dr. Hershner and Stanley Jacobs, it was extracted from pine tree bark pulp.
Mm-hmm.
For many years, but now it's synthesized because, of course, we don't want to cut down the forest, or you know. So, degree, they're trying to save the forest. So they are synthesizing it now.
And
lots of different ways. I don't know the exact way
it's
synthesized.
So it's no longer from...
No.
Interesting. That I didn't know.
It hasn't been for about 20 years, actually.
Well, you know, yeah. That's way before my time. Actually, it is, as far as learning about it.
One of the best chemists and where we recommend people get it is DMSO Store, the DMSO Store. He's an actual medical chemist, and he knows what he's doing, and he makes very pure stuff at a very reasonable price.
It is reasonable. That's where I get mine.
Yeah, that's the best place. It's, Dr. Jacobs' company sells DMSO liquid and MSM, because that's how you make MSM, is DMSO mixed with hydrogen peroxide makes MSM. But they're very expensive.
They are expensive. I went and looked at his site specifically for that. And I thought, you know, Dr. Stanley Jacob would have wanted to get it out there, because his whole life was predicated on healing with DMSO and in so many ways.
Well, you know, he was a surgeon at Oregon Health Sciences University, and that still to this day, Oregon is the only state in the union where you can use it surgically.
Really?
So that if you go in, because it dissolves scar tissue and it prevents adhesions.
It does dissolve scar tissue.
Which is a really horrible complication of a lot of, so like I had two cesareans.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And I have a lot of adhesions, and I would have loved to have, because what they have to do in order for it to work that way is you have to squirt it right on the area.
Do you have to use that? He would have, say if you were to have the cesarean, they would have had to use it then during the surgery in order to avoid
that? The baby, put you open, get the baby out, and then start cleaning stuff up. And before they close you, the last thing they do is squirt 20% solution in there.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world, because I think we talked about also, my listeners know about my husband's finger. He's cut it twice, like almost off with a fish hook. And we just put we put DMSO on it and just kind of butterflied it together. Uh-huh. And first we put iodine, and then we took it out, and then we put the DMSO to push that in even deeper, right? Because it's a solvent, and we'll talk about that. And within that first day, it was still, you know, open and stuff. But the second day, we put more on it. I mean, we kept it wet and kept putting it on there. Mm-hmm. And within 3 days, it was like almost just healed. I mean, so, and he has absolutely no scar and no nerve damage. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's one of the best. It's used a lot post-surgically for pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I have a friend, my friend Peggy, who owns a horse ranch down in San Diego, and they board American and train American saddlebreds, and there's like 40 horses in this facility. And she has hernias from lifting hay bales, and she's 77 years old, I guess, now.
What does she have?
Horse ranch.
No, but what is her condition?
Oh, her condition is that she has torn hernias.
Oh, torn hernias.
Abdominal hernias from lifting 80-pound bales of hay and throwing them around for these horses, right?
Yeah.
So she's been into surgery a few times. They had meshes that they installed that failed and so on. But anyway, each time we would give her DMSO IV for pain management. And she never used Demerol or any of the opiates at all. She, you know, that's major abdominal surgery. Especially an older person. And because of her horse ranch, she knows the benefits of DMSO. It's used a lot in equine.
Yeah.
You know, race horses, they use it topically on their legs. You know, it's great for keeping the swelling down in their lungs when they're racing and stuff.
You know, it's interesting how just on animals it's used. The veterinarians use it all the time on animals for all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And it's like, why aren't we using this? Well, I mean, you and I know why we're not using this.
Yeah. It's not the Matera Medica has two legal uses. It's used to in the liquid that they transport organs for transplant in to protect the organs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's used for interstitial cystitis, which is a chronic scarred bladder infections. from multiple infections. People get those that have used a lot of antibiotics.
And that's it in the United States, the FDA.
Well, I bet you, but good luck trying to find a doctor that knows what to do with it, yeah, for interstitial cystitis.
Yeah, but I don't even know.
I know what to do. You just got to get a catheter up there and put a 20% solution in a syringe and flush it in, out, you know, in and out. And you do it several times, like three times in a week, and it'll dissolve the scar tissue that's developed and take down the swelling. And it's great for pain. It's wonderful. But nobody knows how to do it. So the doctors in Tijuana, that's, you know, we've done a lot of that. So I even have prostate patients that do it on themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, my brother is taking that internally. Mm-hmm. I had suggested that he might want to try that. And he had, he was dribbling and very weak stream. And so obviously, and he had I think we chatted about this, but so he had an enlarged prostate. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's normal, everything's fine, and he hasn't stopped taking it. He's now like Dr. Stanley Jacob. He takes it every single day.
Yeah. Just like, you just have to get used to the smell, because it's a sulfur.
Yeah,
you're gonna smell like garlic. And there is a deodorized version, and then there's a scent-free version, which are actually two different things. We use the deodorized version for IV at the clinic, so that people don't, but you can only deodorize it. They run it through uric acid crystals to deodorize it, and you can only deodorize it about 50%.
Oh, really? I didn't know you could. So then you don't stink.
Like decaffeinating coffee, you can only take so much of it out.
Yeah, yeah. But so then you don't get all stinky like my husband
not
was.
Not as much, no. Yeah.
Because I do wonder about Dr. Stanley Jacob, if he, for his 40, or it had to have been like, because he died in 2015, and he took it up till his death, from what I understand.
But I don't know about his alternative, how he did with his diet and all that stuff. You know, he was a surgeon, and most of the even alternative surgeons and doctors I know have a tendency to, they'll add alternative things in, but they don't necessarily live, they're not holistic or alternative.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean,
I'm telling you, I sit at these alternative medical conferences, and they're in the bars drinking the booze just like everybody else. So I'm sitting there with my club soda, and I'm, you know, and these guys are pounding them back, and I'm like, oh my God.
We have to relax. We just did surgery.
Well, it's true. They do, you know, they do have, sometimes can have an addictive personality, but anyway.
Yeah.
He was a very, very nice man, but I only met him and chatted with him, like I said, the one time. Now, I, you know, emailed back and forth with their company with lots of different patients. They would, and they'll still, his son will still do this. They'll manage you, your patients for you long distance with the MSO.
Oh, really?
So if you need to fly in, like I have clinic patients that, you know, might have some post-surgical, maybe a woman's had her breast removed or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the States, and so we'll send them over there. And he used to do a consult with them and get them on a home regimen. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he used to do that, but you know, as he got older, it got harder and harder.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jeff is still doing that or not, but anyway, they used to.
Because now you can do it yourself, and you have been.
Yeah. Well, there's so much information, and he just they just released, I think 2 years ago, his book. Stanley Jacob actually wrote a detailed book on the use of DMSO in surgery and medical diseases, I think it's called.
I don't think I know about that book. I mean, yeah. this is the one I have, and that's not Stanley Jacob.
The DMSO book is, let's see, the one I've got the old version with Morton Walker, this one.
Oh.
Yeah, this is from one of the original ones. When Morton signed this for me, he's dead now, but I've had that since like 88 or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so the I guess I should probably get to your questions, huh, on the list that you sent?
Well, yeah. We had a couple of listeners that were interested. I mean, it's from the newsletter, it's like the people are pretty excited to – you know, people are just tired of being in chronic pain and have all these issues. And so this is just something I want to get out there because it's just another tool in your tool chest.
It's an excellent tool in the toolbox.
Yeah, it's not a panacea, but it's amazing.
Don't you think women are more apt to do this, to be the health caregivers?
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah, we're the nurturers. So,
this is why I prefer to work with women because they're the leaders, but not leaders, yes, but influencers in the home and in what comes in, foods that come into the home and health ways that come into the home. I mean, they're the ones who arrange that. They're the ones that decide. Yeah. Doctor, naturopath, Carolyn Borman. You know what I mean? They're the ones who make.
And you learn and you take care of yourselves at home and try to stay away from the doctors as much as you can. Because, I mean, there's a lot of really well-meaning people, but the system is so broken.
Yeah, it really is. And there are some. There are some really, really good doctors. It really is coming down to not a pill for every ill, and you can't cure somebody in 5 to 15 minutes, or not cure, but to, you know, take care of somebody and really understand the patient and all of that. So yeah, we just have a couple of questions. If you could answer those, I'm sure. So the first one is, can you take DMSO orally if you have silver fillings in your mouth? And
you can hold it in your teeth or anything, so I don't see a problem.
Okay, so she thought that it could literally carry the mercury in her body.
I know what she's thinking.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, no problem. Yes, okay. You should be able to take it. You know, just don't let it sit on your fillings. You're not going to, it's not like a mouthwash where you're going to hold it in your mouth.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the mouth, I'm understanding you can, if your tooth is hurting, because it's also antifungal, antibacterial, antimicrobial, right? Is it?
Yes, it is. And it's an anesthetic.
An anesthetic. So you can put it, like if you have your tooth is hurting, you can get a organic or your finger, which is clean, and put it, like rub it and paint it on the tooth.
I would use clove oil first, probably. Clove oil is an excellent anesthetic.
Yeah.
And then, you can mix it. See, the thing with DMSO that we haven't even touched on is it's a solvent and a carrier.
Yes. So
everything that you put with it, if I put one tiny little speck on my pinky toe, it's going to taste it in my mouth in about 30 seconds. It has a systemic. So whenever you use it topically, it's going to, you have to clean the area really well first, because you don't want to carry any staph that's normally on your skin in your bloodstream.
With something like Bronner's and not something like Dove.
Bronner's is excellent. I use Bronner's for lots.
Not some chemical laden soap.
Oh God.
Yeah. I mean, we need to put that in because it is, it does. You know, push stuff in. I mean,
yep. So you clean it, and like in the mouth, yes, you've got all these millions of different kinds of bacteria.
Yeah.
But it's been done for 50 years, or, well, 1950 to now.
Yeah.
And it's been used in oral health and everything. You can use it in your eyes for eye drops, for cataract. For cataracts, it'll help dissolve cataracts. There's a lot of...
Isn't that cool? And macular degeneration?
I haven't heard about... Now, there's some question about that. I could see where it would help because of the swelling, but I don't have any clinical experience with it. We do with cataracts.
So you've actually seen people...
myself right now to avoid early cataracts myself, because I'm almost 63 and, you know...
Yeah, you're ancient.
Things are starting to change.
I know.
It's getting a lot harder to see as easily as I used to. So.
Yeah, no, I get it. And so you make drops out of DMS?
Yeah, I just do a 20% solution.
Yeah,
and, 20%. I took the eye drop solution that I'm using that's got antioxidants and stuff, that's got a saline base, and I just put about 6 drops of DMSO, 99% pure. In there.
And are you using like a glass dropper? I want to make sure that. Okay.
And whatever's in the bottle, you can leave it in plastic. It's okay as long as it's the right kind. I'm not a.
Purist.
I would use it, but I'm not always a purist when it comes to that. But just because I need to be able to grab something quick.
Yeah, and travel.
Nobody, for some reason, none of these eye drop companies put stuff in glass. I haven't seen anybody except for the DMSO store.
Yeah, which they always do. And yeah, that's where I get mine.
Which is great. But yeah. And I manufacture iodine, and I have all sorts of glass bottles, but I haven't transferred it yet. Because you have to squeeze it to get it into your eye. So
yeah, I want to make sure that the listeners understand how to do this.
So you can pull your eye down and just put it in the bottom.
No, but the solution. The solution.
Yeah.
No, the solution. How do you create the solution of 20%?
Oh, okay. So 10% would be nine parts to one part.
Okay.
So
eight.
If I'm going to put 1 ml of DMSO, I'm going to put 9 ml of
milliliters
of distilled water.
Okay.
Or saline, sterile saline that you get, you know, like Ocean or one of those.
Yeah.
That are saline.
So, and you put, didn't you say you put 6 drops of that in your
eye? I just put 6 drops of the pure DMSO in an existing eye formula that I'm already buying.
Oh, okay. Just to push that in and dissolve.
Yeah, and to keep it, and it really does work. It works really well. It helps with the, you know, when you get tired at night and you get a little blurry.
Yes.
Small print in a book.
Yes.
And I'll just put drops in my eyes and it usually clears up in about 30 seconds.
That's interesting because I've never done that. And you know, putting this podcast together and everything, I've spent a lot of hours doing stuff. And just growing my business. And
all that screen time is really hard in your eyes.
That's what I was thinking. The screen time, it really is. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. So we addressed the macular degeneration, and so that's not something that
I don't know. There's some research out there, and there are doctors that use it all the time, along with other natural doctors that will use it with other treatments. But I don't have any experience.
No, that's fine. Let me see what else, if there's anything else, therapeutically, how that I know, I do want to ask you about crossing the blood-brain barrier. This is the really cool thing about it. I mean, is it, well, you tell me if this is a really cool thing.
it does cross the blood-brain barrier because that's how it works with closed head injuries.
And, oh, okay.
It goes down the swelling in the spinal cord and in the brain. Yeah.
And this is why it works for paralysis. I mean, like a stroke.
Yeah.
Right. So I think in the book it says if you can get in within like 90 minutes of a stroke, is it 90 minutes?
That's right. Yeah.
That's like the ideal. Well, ideal is right away.
The ideal for me, if I was a stroke victim, is I'd start drinking it immediately,
mm-hmm.
putting, you know, a cap full or so, which is usually about 5 to 10 ml into some juice. And start drinking it. If it hadn't affected the nerves in the throat, you can still swallow. Strokes will affect that.
That's a good point because that.
And then hyperbaric oxygen, you know, and
so,
that will open it. That will shrink the tissues, but the hyperbaric will increase the blood flow, like fast and so, very frequently. I'd say, I don't know the exact percentage, but maybe about 40%. I'd guess off the top of my head. If you can get a stroke person in that kind of a treatment within about 40 minutes, you won't have any side effects.
Yeah. So like you do that, but I mean, where would somebody find hyperbaric and the DMSO they could start taking?
You want, you know, hyperbaric oxygen is oxygen under pressure, and you want to do it in a freestanding healthcare facility. You don't want to do it. They can't do it in a hospital. It's off-label use. So they can't do it in a hospital. It has to be freestanding. But I'm in California. We've got quite a few facilities around here that offer it. But
I think the best thing that people need to do is to be thinking unconventionally,
proactive,
exactly. And think preventative and like in case, like where would there be a hyperbaric chamber? Because I right now I couldn't tell you where there was a hyperbaric chamber.
You've got a couple in Denver. There's several
Denver. I'm sure there are lots of them.
There's a whole list online you can go, and it's all facilities that do off-label use. Because the labeled use is based on Medicare codes, and there's only 13 uses, but there's over like 100 different applications, and it's fantastic. You're pressurizing the oxygen into the body beyond the blood. You're squeezing oxygen in between the cells and the lymph everywhere. And it takes down brain swelling really fast.
Wow.
So when you put that together with DMSO, mm-hmm. like a no-brainer. No kidding. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah. No.
It's a very, at least in Mexico and in the group that I, the group of doctors that I know of, DMSO is almost used, it's very common to use it, I should say.
Common to use it in your clinic in Mexico?
Not just in Mexico. I mean, we've used it in Mexico for, gosh, as long as I've been down there since the 80s. But the alternative integrative doctors up here.
Oh, really?
Are using it, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not official. It's not an official medical treatment, but they'll use it.
Sure. So intravenously. I mean, a lot of
even orally, getting people to drink it. If you came in, I have a good friend, Dr. Ben Johnson, who's a physician friend of mine. He's a concierge doctor, travels around the United States treating people.
Uh huh.
He does. He uses DMSO almost as a regular course of treatment. Because a lot of conditions have swelling as the byproduct.
Yeah, there's so much.
Your ankle, you break your ankle, it swells up. You know, you put the DMSO gel on there, and it just shrinks it right down.
I don't know whether we talked about this or not, but I mean, I have literally, I'm doing box jumps in the gym two times.
Oh gosh!
Pulling my hubby's kayak. And so three times I've sprained my ankle, and two times pretty bad, like super swollen and already starting to bruise. And so I get my little Comfrey, right? And I get Comfrey, and then I make a poultice and put the DMSO like on it just to like drive it in.
Yeah. Right?
And within 12 to, it's overnight. That I wake up the next morning. I mean, I keep it on all day. I kept it on all day, all three times. And mm-hmm. And then as soon as like I wake up and stuff, I look and it's just like nothing ever even happened. Yeah. It's the healing, the cell proliferation with Comfrey, and then the DMSO with its own anti-inflammatory properties. And then what do you call it when it pushes it in? The solvent, carrier. Yeah. It's just like, it's miraculous. I mean, it feels miraculous. Yeah. I mean, it's God given, but, that's where miracles in that, but it's amazing how quickly it works and no pain. So I love it. I mean, I don't go anywhere. I mean, that's why I'm creating that unconventional health kit for people. Cause I don't go anywhere without, my cayenne and lobelia and my DMSO.
An emergency kit.
And vinegar.
And you should have the cayenne, like you said, and lobelia, or vinegar for opening up blood vessels.
Yeah.
And then DMSO for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, if you have nothing else, even for burns and tell us how it works with burns.
Okay, so first of all, with burns, of course, you've got the risk of infection is very high. Depends on how deep the burn goes, as to the effects that it's going to have. Of course, it's going to bring down the swelling and the pain.
Yeah.
You know, but it will accelerate the healing process so that the burn heals fast. It works really well. I have... in Mexico, we see a lot of women coming in we call them barbecued boobs. They come in from their cancer treatments. And they literally look like blackened chicken.
Oh, that's...
You get these women that have had radiation treatments.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we use is an aloe extract and DMSO gel.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it on the poultice on the breast.
Yeah.
And it really does accelerate it. First of all, it gets rid of the pain. They're in so much pain, and a lot of times they don't want to get, they've been put on, you know, prescribed OxyContin or some other heavy pain medicine.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it. And if you can avoid that, but so what? You stink like garlic, you know, but
yeah,
it beats the heck out of getting addicted. So anyway, so they, we've done that a lot with really good aloe, like the stuff that Patrick has.
Yeah.
There's other really good, I use an aloe powder that's activated. But anyway, but yeah, it works really well for that, for burns and for wound care in general.
Wound care, yes. Yeah. Let me see what else I have on here. I think chronic pain, arthritis, sprains, strains, stroke, we talked about that. Angina, heart attacks, we talked about that. Injuries of the brain and spinal cord, we talked about that. I mean, this.
You can rub it right on along the spine, just clean, you know, wipe the skin first with an antibacterial and then put it on the spine.
So if you did.
For arthritis, it has to be done over time, though. It's all of these, the responses are based on the patient's ability to heal. If you have a really advanced type 2 diabetic who can't heal,
mm-hmm.
A shin wound, then it's going to take, they may have a harder time because the blood vessels aren't there to deliver it.
That's a good point.
You know, so it will work. But if you're, you know, if you're basically healthy,
it'll work quickly.
Pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good thing that you're talking about because and not going with type 1 as much, but type 2 is like, And my understanding is type 1 may even be, you may be able to work with that, but I mean, reversing, like getting the pain.
That's vaccine induced almost 100%.
Which, you mean type 1 is vaccine induced?
Yeah, they develop an autoimmune, they develop antibodies against the pancreatic islet cells.
So the pancreatic islet?
Islet cells are the part of the pancreas that produces insulin.
Which part of the vaccine, what in the vaccine?
I don't know yet. I've never dug in to find out if it's, because this was happening before they were putting mercury in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's the mercury. Probably my best guess is the aluminum.
But that aluminum is...
Dr. Tenpenny would have a better idea than I.
Dr. Tenpenny knows a lot. Okay, so getting just because that's a whole different topic.
Yeah, we won't go there, but anyway, yeah.
But keloid scars, burns, and bruises.
It can help. Anytime you have an injury where you tear or injure the skin, it's going to help with the scarring. Especially if you have a tendency to do keloids, it'll reduce it. You want to have a scar. Like, I don't want to have an open wound where my cesarean was, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Scar, right?
You want to close that up.
If it becomes too much, it has to be injected right into the scar itself in order to reduce those large scars. I've rubbed my cesarean scar with that and all sorts of other things to try and get it to reduce, although it really isn't a big deal for me at all. But some women I know develop, you know, really intense scarring. And I think it needs to be put in there with some other things directly.
So directly meaning you get a needle and literally put it in?
It has to be done at a doctor's office that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
But
that doesn't stop you from using it if you, you know, maybe putting some aloe vera or something and doing it on yourself because... reduced. I don't even know if you can see it, but I had a look. I had a it was a mosquito bite in like November from Florida, and it just got it just got infected and all. I mean, I still don't know what it was. I mean, it makes me wonder, like a little bioengineering or something. It's weird. And I mean, what mosquito bite ever gives you like a cut and a sore and it was, you know, it was so itchy. And so I don't know. Anyway.
Did you actually see the mosquito?
No, I mean, but there were lots of mosquitoes.
Oh, so. Of course. It's a state bird down there.
but so I had several, but that one was different. And it just got, it got big and infected. It was so itchy. And I put MMS. So, you know, the chlorine dioxide, not the chlorine, but the, what's the, anyway, the, okay. And I put that on it just to, because that's an acidic bite, right? So I tried to alkalize it. And that didn't work, and it worked on all the other ones, but it didn't work on that one. And so this is the whole thing was just really weird. And I still have a bump there. And so, but anyway, I used the DMSO.
Stinging nettle.
Yeah. Maybe stinging nettles would work. Yeah. Get it in there. Just whip myself instead of,
I
need to go get some in the, you know, and just get it in there, get that, acid in it.
Quercetin works really well. You can get quercetin powder. You know, quercetin is a bioflavonoid.
You mean Q-U-E-R, quercetin?
Yeah, quercetin. Yeah.
Okay.
You can get the powder and make a paste and put it right on there.
Ah, well.
On a bandage. Yeah.
I keep learning stuff.
On contact.
Yeah. Well, yeah, almost.
It's the itching that's the.
Comfrey is very itchy. I mean, very.
Yeah, comfrey works well too, sure.
Uh-huh. That's really good. So quercetin.
Okay.
I'll get some of that. And then headaches, even I'm just reading from like all the different things that it works with, but like.
Okay. So there are so many things. I'm going to give you a couple of websites that your listeners can go look at.
Okay. That's good.
There's so much out there, and there continues to be more publications.
This is what I love. It's not a miracle thing, but I mean, I want people to like put this in their medicine chest and have it available, because it's fascinating how quickly it works and how many uses it has.
Yeah. So, DMSO.org is Dr. Stanley Jacobs' website. And so he's got, that's your archives of all of the studies that have been published so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go on and you do a DMSO book search on Amazon, you'll come up with about 6 really good books. The ones that you have, Archie Scott's book. Dr. Fisher's is the newest one from Germany. It's got a little tree frog on there.
Yeah, I don't have that one yet. And then Dr. Stanley Jacobs, Dr. Stanley.
His new book, well, for me it's new. It was published a few years ago, but yeah. It's very technical. It's a surgeon talking to doctors. So it's a little, it can be, some people may not want it, but if you have a proclivity for, and it doesn't bother you, then go for it. You know, that's the kind of stuff I love. So.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
So that's good. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add on? I mean, like some of the things that you've, some non-miraculous but miraculous healings. I mean, you've already talked about the a few things.
Well, we use it, you know, at the clinic. EuropaInstitute.org is our clinic website, because we're in the Tijuana San Diego border zone. We're 500 yards from the gate on the Mexican side.
What's the name? What is the
Europa? EUROPA.
Europa.
Institute.org.
.org. Okay.
We're a very small Christian clinic. Dr. Sonia is a surgeon and a true holistic physician. She's really great. She and her husband, Dr. Freeman, started our primary focus is the treatment of cancer using hyperthermia, heat.
We're going to talk about that. I hope.
At some point we can go into that. But
because you've had great success with that.
Well, compared to considering the patient base that we get are end stage most of the time.
End stage as in like, okay, I have stage 4 or.
They come home with their pink card to die and they're on morphine and
Yeah.
And so we figure generally, we only see them during the time they're there. They don't usually come back because most of our patients are foreign. They're coming from around the world. We get a lot of Canadians, Europeans.
Yeah.
And, some local Mexicans, but it's not covered by national health. So they don't usually tend to come, see us, but in any case, but the DMSO we use it a lot, almost every day for our cancer patients.
Yeah.
Headaches. Yeah. You can use it on a headache, but, best to figure out why the headache. What's going on? Is it food allergies? Is it an infection? Is it, hormone imbalance? What is it?
Well, it's always good to find the root cause, but when you have a headache, you just kind of want to.
Oh, believe me, I know.
It's just like, let's see if I could just put DMSO around here and then I can figure out like what is going on with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just think it's really cool that you can.
I used to give my daughter when she was home. She's 35 now and lives in Seattle, but she was diagnosed with migraines. Hormonal. And it was also food related. She had a lot of food allergies. And soy particularly would set her off. And I knew it, but she had to go through hell first herself before she could finally agree that it was food related.
I think soy sets a lot of people off.
It does. It's really toxic. But in her case,
Yeah.
But, she was one of these teenagers that said, I won't eat anything with eyes and, all that. And it changed as time went on, that changed. But the DMSO I used to give her, we had like a deodorant rollerball.
Yeah.
And she, I would roll it across her forehead and let her lay there we'd do that and some other herbal things to try and help. But
yeah, in the feed store, you're looking at $6 or $7 for the gel, the rollerball, the liquid.
It's all expensive stuff now. When it was made from paper pulp, it was much more expensive.
Well, that makes sense. I always thought that it was still natural, so it's not natural any longer. It's synthesized.
Well, the molecule's identical, but the source is no longer from pulp.
I wonder how they.
But considering what they're doing with chemtrails and all that, I really don't want to drag that stuff into my bloodstream. That's in the trees,
Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me and it works the same. And the fact that he is able to synthesize it and get the price down is really nice.
So. Okay. So Carolyn, thank you so incredibly mucho. People can reach you at europa.org.
europainstitute.org is our clinic, or my website is arrowheadhealthworks.com.
And I want to encourage listeners, if you have literally anything, to go to Arrowworks, to Carolyn's website. But I mean, I'm going to have her on this as many times as she will allow me, because her knowledge.
Wait till you hear Judy Mikovits when you get her on. Your phones will blow up. Yeah.
Well, if I had phones, but this is a recorded podcast.
Oh, okay. That's right.
At some point it'll be live, but this is, well, that's good to know.
You want me to give out my phone number or not?
It's absolutely. If you want to
have the office number here, I'm in California. It's 909-338-3533. That's my business line. And,
and what's your email?
C. Borman, C-B-O-R-M-A-N-N, @dslextreme.com.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'll put that on the show notes.
Okay.
So underneath the podcast.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you again soon.
Okay. All right. I look forward to watching the progress of your show. I think it's terrific.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Wild and Free Healthy You podcast. Hope you learned something new. You can connect with me at LinnyMotivates.com. You can also sign up for my newsletter and podcast notifications.